Son of a gun, I forgot the music. Here we go. Welcome to Takeology, baby. Welcome to Takeology. Here we are. We're live. Got the two boys in the lab. So you can do the cooking. And we're here with the Matt McDonald. How you doing, buddy?
Not great, dude. That was a bad loss this past week. So I'm usually pretty confident about the Chiefs. It's a little different situation this year. Looks like we're going to be fighting for a wild card spot, and just hopefully we can have success in that position, which we haven't found ourselves in since Mahomes been our quarterback. So I think it was an idiotic decision not to trade for someone at the deadline. I think we got comfortable with the team we had.
Yeah.
And I think it was just a mistake overall, but I can't really complain much. We've had a lot of success these past 8 years, so I'm not going to crap on our GM like some of our friends are, but it was definitely a bad move. We needed defensive tackle help. We needed rushing help. And the difference between a third and a fourth round pick for Breece Hall should not have made or break that deal for us. So
no,
I'm a little disappointed, but I always have faith in Mahomes and Reed as a tandem.
I truly think they'll turn around, genuinely. I mean, I don't know why they didn't pull through with the Broncos, truly. It was a rough game to watch. This was actually one of the games I did get to watch. But, I mean, even they were playing good. I mean, Patrick Mahomes had some – he threw a lot, but I don't know.
That's a tough defense.
That's really what it comes down to, man. Benito on that edge, and they're just – they're legit. They're a legit good defense. Well, they had three sacks. Interception and a block.
Yeah, and the interception, it really just killed us.
Yeah.
Mahomes rarely makes decisions where you're kind of scratching your head. He just threw it right to him. I know he was scrambling out, but this is exactly what I talked about Bo Nix. I said he scrambles and then makes bad decisions. And then lo and behold, the best quarterback of our generation does the same crap. And he's my favorite player on my favorite team. So it was a hard pill to swallow for sure. I think my wife can attest my attitude was not good that night.
It was a rough Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, it was a rough Sunday for me too, losing in fantasy. But I feel like the Chiefs losing is worse than at what cost, right? At what cost?
It's not.
How about Travis Kelce though? I did want to – dude balled out though.
No, yeah. On he my said bench. That. Yeah, he set the all-time Chiefs receiving TDs. So, I mean, he's a phenomenal player. Even at this state of his career where he's getting up there in age, he's slowed down a lot compared to what we've seen in the past. I think you still see when we need him, he comes through for us. It just didn't happen to be enough this past week.
And I did also want to say this before we jump in. Dude, I saw more yellow on that field than green.
It was terrible.
They got to figure that out, dude. Is it Juwan Taylor? Is he from Florida? Listen, number one,
he's our right tackle.
Screw the Gators. The Gators suck anyways. But this guy is like three steps behind everybody, every play, bro.
Dude,
somebody's got to talk to this guy.
He's a liability when it comes to penalties drawn. He leads the league just like he did last year. The crazy thing is he's actually a really good pass blocker when he doesn't get flagged. When he gets flagged, it's just a drive killer because it's always a false start. There's nothing that makes you more mad than just these ticky-tacky fouls he gets every single game. And it's just because he's trying to get that little bit of advantage and take off a little early.
Yeah, and honestly, that might have cost y'all the game, is the penalty.
It's drive killers. 10-yard penalty, it just kills your drive.
Yeah. Well, and it makes it just a longer – obviously, it makes it longer to get to first down. But in looking at these stats here, you guys had more first downs, 19 to 16. You didn't have the total yards, 342 to 311, but it's not a big difference. You had 5 yards per play to 5.6. I mean, it was a close game all around. And it was something where – I think the Chiefs should have pulled through against a not as good Broncos defense. And they stopped the run real well, I felt like, against Denver.
Yeah, Denver didn't run hardly at all. Harvey had a terrible day.
Yeah, 30 yards on 11 attempts.
And then Kareem Hunt, he was actually running well, averaging 5 yards a carry. And then we just stopped. We stopped running. At some point,
that
though,
doesn't
you
make
do
sense either.
Yeah, Andy gets he did a press conference and he said he was calling runs and they were just audibling out of them. It's hard to know when you see a certain defensive look and that's when you audible. But putting that aside, at some point I have to give Denver credit, and I guess it's now. I really thought they were kind of skating by in these one score wins coming back in the fourth quarter, but they honestly just looked. They had everything tightened up. Their last drive was just impressive.
It was clean.
Not many teams in the league that can go out there with confidence and beat the Chiefs, who have a fantastic top five defense, and just march down the field to win the game. So you got to give Denver credit for how good they've been in these fourth quarters this year. A 9-2 record, you can't really say anything bad about it.
That's not a fluke. You know, I think a lot of people want to be like, oh, man, you know, they just barely did it. No, but they've done really well. They've done really well. They're the team to beat. The defense is so elite. And when Bo Nix actually shows up, and they've done this really Cortland Sutton did play. I just feel like he wasn't there.
Yeah, he didn't have a huge game. But, he made some big catches to move the chains.
But Torrey Franklin, Pat Bryant, these guys are looking good as a receiver core.
They don't even have Pat Surtain right now.
I know.
So the defense is only going to get better.
Man, Benito is just a beast over there on that right side.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate that guy.
Shout out to the Broncos and Mr. Benito, if you're listening. Matt's not a fan.
I don't like you.
Speaking of Matt not being fans of people, we all know Matt McDonald is not a fan of Aaron Rodgers. And it seems, as we jump into the lab report, talk about some injuries, some waiver wire pickups for this week, Aaron Rodgers looks like he broke his hand. But they said that he should be good to play this week. So a good report for the Steelers. I don't know if they fully broke it. The reports are saying that he's not expected to practice on Wednesday, but that he doesn't have to have surgery, which is a big dub. That means he could possibly play, and it's his offhand. So we'll see how that affects them. Who's the backup on Pittsburgh, Matt? Do you know?
Mason Rudolph.
Ah, man. Not fun.
It's not
for
great. It's not great.
Now, how does this affect DK Metcalf's legacy?
They really hadn't been connecting much this season. Either boom or bust with him. If DK wasn't getting the TD, he had a terrible fantasy week. That's kind of how he's been over his career. But especially with the Steelers, if he's not getting in the end zone, he's not really producing for fantasy. So it's kind of been a disappointment. I don't know about legacy-wise because it's really not going to be Rodgers for very much longer. Right. So we'll see a new quarterback in there soon. But if Mason Rudolph's the starter, I would lower your expectation. Say what you want about Rodgers. He's played decent this year.
Yeah.
With Rudolph in there, I think you need to lower your expectations for all the offensive players in general on that team, especially Jalen Warren hurt now too. Right. So, it's kind of it's a ripple down effect if Rodgers sits out.
And Jalen Warren could play, but I believe he missed practice. Or no, he may, what did it say?
He had an ankle sprain.
Yep. So, but it says optimistic about his stats for week 12. So that's nice at least. But that's just, you never know truly. I did want to say one player that is still going to be a dog on the Steelers is Darnell Washington. How about that athleticism from Darnell Washington this weekend, dude?
That play where he got the first down on that little out route and he just stiff-armed that. He threw that guy 10 yards out of bounds.
Literally, just like Rashad White, speaking of stiff arms, man.
I mean, a 300-pound tight end, it's going to be hard to bring him down. Yeah, he's pretty nimble for that big of a fella. So he's an impressive player in general.
He's a beast, bro. Little darn it.
I would assume he's been the biggest guy out there since he was in peewee football. Probably. That dude he's a specimen.
Shout out, dogs. Go Bulldogs. Gunnar Stockton for Heisman. Dude's getting snubbed. I don't even want to talk about it, dude. They got Arch Manning on a list, and Gunnar Stockton's not anywhere near. It's just ridiculous. Anyways. Continuing on quarterbacks, C.J. Stroud is set to miss Thursday night football. So Davis Mills again. But truly, though, like, Davis Mills hasn't been awful. The first game he was in the starting lineup, he did really well fantasy-wise.
I think he's threw 300 plus yards each of the last two games.
Really? I didn't realize it was that.
And Nico Collins has played well with him. So
exactly.
Well, it doesn't look bad.
Against Tennessee, man, Nico tore him up. But I did see a report, Nico Collins. Let me see if I can find this. He logged a full practice Tuesday, so that is nice because he did kind of seem a little banged up there. So that is good seeing that he's going into this Thursday. And I did want to ask you, Matt, where's Joe Mixon? We have no report. We have no update. No expected return.
No, I would not expect to see him for the remainder of the year. We expected him to be back kind of when we were drafting this year. Yeah. We expected it to be maybe half the year that he's out. The fact that we've heard nothing about it and they don't seem optimistic at all, it really makes you think that we're not going to see him at all.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Woody Marks' show the rest of the year. Man. And I don't think Woody Marks is a phenomenal player by any means, but he's getting the job done. And then you mix a little bit of Nick Chubb in there. So I just don't think we're really going to see. They could use him, no doubt about it, but I don't think we're going to see Mixon.
RIP until he comes back, Mr. Mixon. I like Joe Mixon. I wish he was there. I also like Nick Chubb, but he hasn't panned out this year as much as you'd want him to. So no C.J. Stroud this Thursday night. Got Davis Mills as starter. For the Titans, Calvin Ridley on IR. I mean, Titans haven't been that much of an implication for fantasy impact. But another person on the report is Chimere DK. Status is unknown for week 12. What does this mean? Elik Ayomanar. Man, this team needs to fix their names, bro.
They got some tough ones to fix.
What is it? Elik Ayomanar? How do you say that one? What is that?
I don't even know. Ayomanar, I think.
Ayomanar. He'd be a guy to be looking for because if he's the only receiver out there, somebody's got to get the targets. So throw those two out there. Matt, who else we got in the report, man? Or what you got?
Yeah, so we also had a pretty big one. Josh Jacobs had a knee injury. He's expected to miss this next week. That is where our top waiver wire priority pickup comes in, which we'll get to. So that is a big one. But it was positive news in the sense that it's hopefully only going to be 1 week. So that's positive. But it's definitely not something you want to see for a running back that's a little up there in years as far as played in the league. So hopefully he can get back and only miss this next week. Another one would be DeMarcado. He had a high ankle sprain. We've talked about it many times. They're either going to miss no games or three games. There's really no in between. So if he's out, you might see a little more Michael Carter. Bam Knight has been struggling with injuries as well. So those are two names just to monitor to see who's going to get the snaps if DeMarcado does miss time. And then the last one, I know you kind of touched on it earlier, Jaylen Warren had the ankle sprain. If he's out, that's another name that we'll talk about in the waiver wire session. Kenneth Gainwell's, I mean, he had a great week this past week. So yes, he's definitely a name you need to be bringing up. Did you talk about Drake London earlier?
I did not, no. That's a big
one. Yeah, so that was a terrible one for me specifically. I've got him in a couple different spots. He's expected to miss this next week with a PCL sprain. So hopefully that is kind of a short-term injury. He's missed quite a bit of time this year off and on. It's never a large span of games, but he has missed games here and there. So that's one that we need to watch, especially with Penix. He partially tore his ACL.
Yeah.
So that one is detrimental to this team in general. If you throw Kirk Cousins out there, which they're going to, I think it just lowers the entire offense. I think it lowers everybody, including Bijan, just because I don't think their passing attack is going to be as good as it has been.
And they're already down right now, I feel like, as a team, just in terms of the games that they've had, have just lost.
They've had a lot of close losses to good teams.
And I, really, to me, it's more of a coaching issue than skill issue, because they've got just they got a great defense and great players. But sorry to cut you off there.
No, I just hated to see. Penix is a guy that's – he's already torn his ACL three times, and he's only 25 years old. So at a certain point, you have to expect, like, is this just going to be something he deals with his entire career and he never really gets past the injury bug? We saw it with RG3. He had the injuries and just never was the same. Now, I will say Penix, if there's someone that knows how to come back from injury, it's him. Having the three separate ACL sprain or ACL tears, he knows how to come back from them. It's just how many times can you tear it before it's not fixable?
Or it's done for, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, it does help that he's 25, so he should be able to come back, but it's just a bummer.
It sucks to see a guy that's young and really kind of up and coming get injured like that, which another quarterback out there, Jackson Dart, still in concussion protocol. Jameis Winston did have the start this weekend. Love to see that they moved him up to starting, so he could be another guy starting. And we could see Bucky Irving coming this week. We're not sure. You never know on the turntable there. And how about Mr. Shedeur Sanders? Dylan Gabriel could be back on Sunday for concussion protocol, but we'll see.
Shedeur looked terrible.
Man, really? It was so bad, bro.
I've been a vocal supporter of him. Why hasn't he been in? If this is the product he's going to put on the field, no wonder they have been playing Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And Dylan Gabriel, like, he was doing all right. It wasn't.
That being said, a full week of practice, he should look better this next week.
Oh yeah.
So hopefully it looks good, because he's definitely playing for his career here. So.
We need
to definitely see some positive signs from him this next week.
Oh yeah, but I guarantee he comes out and balls out. I guarantee.
I mean, he looked good in preseason, so hopefully he can get back to that.
It was a Ravens defense, you know, and hard time to come out. I think he can come back. And Bryce Young also, his status is unclear for Week 12. Big with an ankle issue. So we could not see Bryce Young coming up. So look for Andy Dalton, baby.
Yeah, Bryce Young actually got hurt mid-game and then came back. So you never know. After a game ends, the swelling could be where they're just running on adrenaline during the game. So you never really know the severity until after the game, and they actually get some hours past the game where the adrenaline's pumping. So we'll just have to keep an eye on that. I really don't know if it necessarily – Andy Dalton and Bryce are – I see them in a similar light, so I really don't know if that affects the players on that team.
We shall see.
But Bryce balled.
He did, which we'll get there. I'm actually excited. Well, I'm excited but not excited to talk about that game, because really it crushed my weekend. Just really devastated, honestly. But we're going to jump into some waiver wire picks. Matt, I'm going to throw it to you because you mentioned it earlier. Our top recommended waiver wire pick, like your highest priority this week, what you got?
I think it's going to be pretty much the same for everybody across the fantasy landscape. Emmanuel Wilson is probably going to be the first pick for everyone out there. Josh Jacobs going down in a run-heavy offense, especially where Jordan Love has kind of struggled as of late. So I think they're going to be running the ball a ton. Emmanuel Wilson's a good player. He just happens to be behind Josh Jacobs. I think he's going to get a lot of red zone work with him being basically the only guy they're going to use. So I would go at Emmanuel Wilson pretty much as hard as you can. It may be a short-term start just because Josh Jacobs did get that positive news that he won't miss hopefully more than 1 week. But 1 week at this point in the season – could put you in or out of the playoffs. Yep. So you definitely need to be trying your best to win. And I think Emmanuel Wilson will definitely help you this next week.
Yeah, even in this time of year for playoffs, you're trying to go for like the biggest ceiling. If you're tied with somebody for playoffs, where your points for can get you in, where you have just more points than the next guy. And that's one of those things where you want a guy that could possibly have a lot of volume, like Emmanuel Wilson on a Packers defense or Packers offense, to get you some high points there. So yeah, Emmanuel Wilson is high up there for me. Another guy to me that if Bucky Irvin doesn't play, let me put it that way. Sean Tucker, dude.
Dude's a dog.
I was watching this game and he's done it over and over again. Why have we not believed in this guy? Where it's like, yeah, I know he's sharing snaps, but this dude has breakout speed where he's going to beat that secondary all the way to the end zone. And he looked really good. I know it was a Buffalo's defense and they don't have a good run defense. But because we've seen Devon Achane just destroy him the week before. But I'm telling you, Sean Tucker, man, if Bucky Irvin ain't playing, I think they'll lean more into him after a game like this. You can't not. I mean, I think.
I agree. He's definitely the better runner between him and Rashad White. The only reason White gets playing time is his receiving ability. But even in this past game, Sean Tucker had the receiving touchdown, and he looked good. I mean, he toe-tapped along the sideline. So he's showing the ability to be good in the receiving game as well. It's a weird situation for him because he was a highly recruited running back coming into the draft and then had the injury scares. So that kind of put him all the way down to the low ends of the round or low ends of the draft. But he is a talented player that just has been unlucky as far as who's ahead of him. But if he does get playing time every time, like you said, he's shown he's fully capable of being a very good running back in this league. So hopefully the Buccaneers see that. It's probably likely that we go another week without Bucky Irvin. So it should be Sean Tucker. But like you said, the Buccaneers are weird. They love Rashad White, even though he's not explosive at all. So you might just kind of have to get lucky and hopefully they give those carries to Sean Tucker. But I think he definitely proved to the team that he's more than capable of being a good back on that team.
Yeah, the dude literally balled out, dude.
I had 3 touchdowns. You can't just shut the door on that. It happened. He looked amazing.
It's like the Rico Dowdle situation, which I hate to mention because I was riding on Chuba Hubbard having a year, and then this Rico Dowdle guy shows up with his nose ring and runs all over the place.
Dude, he is good.
You can't deny when a guy comes out there and just dominates. You can't not give him snap share in an offense. And I think Sean Tucker's earned his right to some more opportunities in this offense because it looks great. And the speed that he can add and the run game to just open up for for Baker to throw the ball everywhere, it's huge for this Tampa Bay offense. Another waiver wire I want to throw out there, Drake London dealing with an injury issue. Also, I mean, Kirk Cousins is going to be the quarterback, so it's like, let's scale this back some. But Darnell Mooney is a guy out there that if he's available, go pick him up. He's a guy that could possibly have he has a big ceiling, a lot of deep threat possibilities. Can Kirk Cousins get in the ball? We don't know. Maybe. But I would say Darnell Mooney's another waiver wire ad. Not as high a priority. Honestly, to me personally, I would put Michael Wilson over Darnell Mooney if Marvin Harrison is out. Because, man, if Jacoby Brissett is going to throw 45 passes, no, 45 completions, it was way more passes than that. If this dude's going to throw for like 500 yards, I don't care who's on that team. You go pick him up and you play him.
No, Michael Wilson had an amazing game. Bro. There's no doubt about it. Now, it did help. Yeah, it did help that Brissett threw as many times as he did. Yeah. But like you said, if Marv misses another week with the surgery on his appendix like he had, if he misses another week, then, yeah, Michael Wilson should be a pickup. But I do like what you're saying about Darnell. Him and Kirk have had a connection in the past. I know we've seen Kirk's play kind of drop off since the Achilles tear. But if there's one guy he has a connection with, it's Darnell Mooney because they've done it before. And Darnell last year was a heck of a player for fantasy. It hasn't really worked out this year, but Penix has really heavily focused on targeting London, so that could be a reason why. So with London out and Kirk running the show now, I think you could see really positive Darnell Mooney. So, yeah, I like that a lot. And the last guy I had, we talked about Kenneth Gainwell. If he's out there, pick him up if Jaylen Warren's going to miss time. But the last one, and I feel like we've talked about it multiple times, Alec Pierce just continues to have games. Him and Daniel Jones' connection downfield, and he's getting way more targets than what we're used to him getting. And I think he just offers you kind of a boom potential on any given Sunday just because of how good he is downfield. And Daniel Jones has been a pretty good deep ball thrower. So I would definitely be looking to pick up Alec Pierce. He's honestly became a flex-worthy play on a week-to-week basis.
This team is so explosive that – and they're coming off a bye, too, which is kind of a lot of times has a lot of implication of a better game. But last 2 weeks that he has played, receiver 15 and receiver 14, he had 13 targets in week 9. 13 targets. So if this guy's going to get a target share like that and seven, he had a week with 10 targets – it's been a lot of up in the production, like he's increasing in production, and he got a touchdown in this last game. I'm for that. You know, I feel like he's a sneaky, a lot of people aren't going to think about Alec Pierce as a pickup, but with this offense being as explosive as it is, his floor to me, is not as safe just because of if Jonathan Taylor, they get up big, they're not going to pass the ball. But if they're down, his ceiling is through the roof because this guy is a deep threat. He's got good speed, and Daniel Jones is connecting with him. So I like that a ton, Matt.
Yeah, and this next week they're going up against the Chiefs. We have a pretty good rush defense. So if we're able to kind of lock down – you can't lock down Taylor. But if we're able to kind of slow him down, I expect our offense to be able to score, and I think they're going to have to score quite a few points as well. And our best corner, McDuffie, is likely going to be covering Pittman most of the game. So I think it opens up the door for Pierce to have a pretty good week. Now, that's like you said, he probably offers you a lower floor than some of these other flex positions, but he offers you such a higher ceiling. And I think that's kind of what – especially if you're kind of struggling this year, if you need a boom player on your in your lineup, I think he's definitely a guy you should look at. Like you said – that many targets, it's not just a blip. He is a good player, and he does have a connection with Daniel Jones. So he definitely needs to be picked up.
Got to play him. Michael Pittman Jr. Man, I will say Justin Watson's looked good too. So, I mean, it's a tough defense to go against regardless. But he's a guy you got to stash him for the playoffs. They play Jacksonville in week 14. He's a good pickup for sure. Obviously, there's other guys out there, but those are kind of our top high priorities of guys you should go get. They may already be taken in your league, but if not, you better go grab them if you got that high priority. Spend all that fab.
I mean, you might as well. You can't take it with you, so spend it.
Exactly. Get to that playoffs. Take some risk. All right, Matt. Let's jump into our next little segment here. Let's talk about some football. This week, for some, was a wonderful week. For others, straight garbage, dude. Listen, I wanted to start with the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons. A game that destroyed my hopes for another win in fantasy. Because Tetoria McMillan, not, you know, these names, they're getting out of hand. T. McMillan, man.
It's Tetoroa. There you go.
Tetoroa. Listen, they got to get better names, dude. T. McMillan, 8 for 12, or 8 catches on 12 targets, 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. If you've been listening to our podcast, a few weeks ago, Matt gave an example. Would I trade Michael Pittman Jr. for Tetoroa McMillan? And I was like, well, yeah, but it depends. I should have done it because this guy popped off. I mean, Bryce Young had a great game. The Panthers are the real deal. They're 6-5. They have a better record than the Chiefs. I mean, we're in a whole new world that I would have never seen us in.
Why are you bringing that up? That Dude, was not
it's,
necessary.
It's crazy. It's crazy, Matt.
I do agree that it is a weird spot to see Bryce Young with more wins, but that just wasn't necessary for your conversation here, okay?
That's my bad. It's in the frustration.
I do agree with you, though. Tet, like we talked about, I think he's only been getting better, and I think him and Bryce Young are getting more comfortable with each other.
Yeah.
And if Bryce is going to play – he doesn't even have to play this good. If he's going to play close to this level, I think it really bolsters Tet for the rest of the season. And he's top five in receiving yards this year, which I think has gone – it's gone really under the radar for people just because he's a Carolina Panther. Nobody really cares about them. We've heard a lot about Rico Dowdle this year, and everybody kind of doubts Bryce Young even in these good games. But he's had a great year, and I think he's going to be a bona fide just number one receiver in this league. So he's definitely a guy I would be excited about. Rest to see, and this is a good Falcons pass defense. So it was an impressive game from him for sure.
This is his second game on the year with two touchdowns. And to think that this guy has been as good as he has been, kind of like the sneaky under the radar receiver with no touchdowns really throughout the year. If this guy can get end zone targets and catches, he's going to be lethal to me.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of like past Quentin Johnston, for example. They're big bodied. They're just they're really good downfield. He reminds me a lot of him. I was trying to think of who's the past Chargers receiver that was there with Keenan Allen. He was always hurt. Williams. What's his first name? Mike Williams. He reminds me a lot of that play style. He's a big guy, really good at contested catches. That's kind of what you get with Tet here. And I think that offers a really good catch. Like Bryce Young can throw it in his vicinity, and he's always going to have a chance to catch the ball because he's like just a bigger bodied receiver. He's the complete opposite of like Tyreek Hill, who was just really good at finding his spots and kind of a technician. Tet is just a big guy who's going to go up and get the ball. And you definitely love that for fantasy.
Yeah, he's a receiver 9 on the year right now in a PPR league. You couldn't have told me that at the beginning of the year, and I would have believed you. It's just crazy. Xavier Leggett, though, don't want to sleep on him. He also did have a good game. 4 catches, 83 yards, and a touchdown. Him and his southern accent. But all in all, you know, good game for the Panthers. They pulled through with the win. And you'd love to see B. John Robinson. 104 yards, 2 touchdowns. Man, about time.
There for a little bit, it was getting bad because they were they get to the red zone and then they sub out Bijan and put in Algier. And don't get me wrong, Algier's a great player, but when Bijan's doing all the work to get him to the red zone and then they take him out, it was just it was so fresh. It was very similar to the Seahawks situation. They put Charbonnet in when they're on the 1 yard line and he gets the touchdown every week. This was a very similar situation. And Algier still got a rushing touchdown, which is frustrating. I thought it was going to be a 3 touchdown week. But even so, Bijan had a fantastic week, 100 yards rushing. And then what offers him such a high ceiling is his ability in the receiving game. 4 catches this week. They target him so much. I will be interested to see how that fluctuates with Kirk Cousins coming in at quarterback. I hope it's still going to be some dump offs to Bijan. I think that would help the offense. So hopefully they continue to get him the ball in the passing game.
I definitely think they will. I mean, even in this game, Kirk Cousins did come in and threw 14. This is not good stat. Threw 14 passes for 6 completions, 48 yards, and had a carry.
He's terrible. He really is terrible.
That's really bad. But we'll see how it goes. Kirk Cousins, I love Kirk Cousins as a quarterback, so
The frustrating part is I think if they had a better record, they might try to trade for somebody. But with them being 3-7, I think they're ultimately just going to go for draft position. Mm-hmm. So it's not likely that they would trade for anybody. Well, speaking of that, they traded their first-round pick, so they don't even have it. So it's not a good situation for the Falcons.
They're in a pickle. And I would say, like, I lean more towards being a Falcons somewhat fan just because of the Bulldogs, but I don't want to say it now with the position they're in. All right, next game. I know you don't want to talk about this, Matt. I know you don't. But we got it. And we might as well get it out of the way now. Chiefs lost to the Broncos. Broncos 22, Chiefs 19. One of the highlights of this game is obviously Travis Kelce, really the only highlight, I feel like, of the Chiefs offense. Rashee Rice kind of wet the bed a little bit. I mean, 6 for 9 on 38 yards. There was a lot of, you know, here's what made me so mad watching this game. Rashee Rice had a lot of opportunities where the ball was put perfectly.
He had
like
two
all
drops.
He had to do was just catch it.
Terrible
and,
drops.
And it was bad. Like it was balls that this guy should catch on a normal basis. Like he's known for catching. And he just didn't pull through. And so that was kind of annoying. But this defense, like you said, and like we talked about, is just so good. But Travis Kelce did have 91 yards and a touchdown. So
yeah, I obviously don't want to talk about it, but as far as the fantasy went, Travis Kelce having 9 receptions was pretty wild to see. And adding on the 91 yards and the touchdown, he had it's his best week in probably 2 years. Yeah. So that was great to see. He doesn't have many of these games in him at this point in his career, but it was nice to see kind of a retro Travis Kelce make an appearance. Pat Mahomes, he didn't have a terrible game. It wasn't fantastic, though. 276 passing, 1 TD, 1 interception. We talked about it. The interception was just – it was terrible just in general, but the point of the game it was at, it really flipped the game on us, and we're not used to seeing Pat Mahomes make those kind of mistakes. And I think an alarming stat for us is we're 0-5 in one-score games this year. Mm. Last year we were undefeated. So the Broncos have been amazing in one-score games. We have been terrible. So hopefully our schedule is not daunting the rest of the season, so it should be fine. But we're definitely going for a wild card now. We have no chance at the division. So it's definitely going to be a different spot for the Chiefs in general. But as far as their offensive plays go, Kareem Hunt, he was the number one running back. He had a decent day, 59 yards rushing with a TD. Breshard Smith got mixed in there in the receiving game. He hasn't been getting the rushing work, which I hope to see just because he's a little more explosive. But Kareem actually was running the ball well. We just went away from it this game, which I know a lot of fans are complaining about. On the Broncos side, RJ Harvey did not have a good game. I think that's largely due to the Chiefs' rush defense. It's a very good defense in general. There's 2 top 5 defenses here, so you didn't expect a ton of fantasy goodness. Bo Nix, he actually had a decent day, just as far as the game goes, 295 passing. It wasn't great for fantasy just because he didn't mix in any touchdowns there, but he got the win. All credit to him. The receiving options, I think Pat Bryant and Troy Franklin have kind of become favorites of Bo Nix. And then Cortland Sutton, he's kind of continuing the trend of disappointment. He was a guy that we were kind of slotting in at the receiver, low end receiver 1. And now he's kind of getting mixed. Like, do I start him this week? Do I not? Right. It's I think it's a lot fantasy. It's dependent on who they play. This was a very bad matchup for him against Trent McDuffie. But I think going forward, you can have a lot of confidence that Troy Franklin's going to be the one on this team. And, yeah. I mean, you probably got him for nothing on the waiver wire. So that's good in that aspect, but it's bad as far as Cortland Sutton goes.
If you look at Cortland Sutton's stats, like, and just like the usage through the year, you can see the beginning of a decline of usage. And really, to me, it's the emergence of Pat Bryant. He's been doing fantastic. He's quick, and he can beat the defense out. And obviously, we know Troy Franklin and Bo Nix have a rapport just in terms of playing in college together. And honestly, Evan Engram hasn't been awful, like, in terms of football play out there. So, I mean, Cortland Sutton's just kind of there. And if he can get it, it's going to be, like you said, matchup dependent on if he's going to get the best matchup and see if he can exploit that. But I don't know. He would be a guy where I'm saying I'm sitting him, honestly, week to week, especially if I've got somebody that I can fill that spot in personally.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot due to Bo Nix kind of – he's really up and down, kind of a roller coaster player as far as fantasy goes. They've been getting wins, but his fantasy production has not been great. One guy I did want to point out that has kind of been a pretty big disappointment is Xavier Worthy. He had three catches this game for only 22 yards. The targets have been there. It's just been – it's not the targets that we want to see. He got missed on a deep ball this week where he was open. Besides that, though, he's been used on these short over-the-middle routes. And those just don't offer much potential for fantasy points unless he gets away from the defense and gets those yards after the catch. But with the injuries he sustained, his shoulder and now his ankle, I just don't know if he's going to have the ability really to break away from these tacklers with him struggling with injuries. So I think he's another guy that kind of like Sutton, we expected his first game back, he was amazing. And now with Rice back, Kelsey's playing better. He's getting more targets. I think it really limits Xavier Worthy's ceiling when it comes to fantasy.
I was going to ask you in talking about Travis Kelce, and I don't know if this is maybe like more of a just the way that my team is set up, but in terms of like fantasy wide, I feel like people aren't playing Travis Kelce as much because there may be a better option. Is it time to trust in Travis Kelce? Because if you've seen over the last few games, he's been doing fantastic. He's been a top five tight end, like you know, we expected. Whereas the beginning of the year, it was kind of like up and down, really kind of you didn't really know if he was going to get the targets. He wasn't even like playing as much, really. His snap share truly has increased over the last few weeks. So is it time to really believe in Travis Kelce as a top tight end?
I would. I personally have him in our redraft league. And I've played him consistently all year. Like you said, early on, it was kind of bumpy. But now, I mean, he's a top five tight end over the year. And that's just combined, all games considered, he's top five. And with all these other tight ends struggling with injuries, we talked about Laporta going on IR.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels being out for Washington has kind of eliminated Zach Ertz. There's just a lot of tight ends that haven't been providing very much fantasy points this year, with the exception of a couple. Brock Bowers, he was injured, though. And then Trey McBride has been fantastic. But other than that, I mean, he's been the most consistent guy out there. So I don't know why you wouldn't play him, especially with these games being do or die for the Chiefs. I think we're going to utilize him a ton. It's Pat Mahomes' favorite target besides Rashee Rice. I think there's no reason to sit him out. I don't think there's a guy besides McBride or Bowers that I would play over him. Maybe Tyler Warren. He's been good this year. But I think Travis is pretty locked into that 4 or 5 spot for sure.
Yeah. So at the beginning of year, it was like, man, what about, like, is it time to hang him up? But,
and I think a lot of it was due to his bad play last year. I think people still have bad taste in their mouth from his fantasy year last year. I think you kind of have to throw that away and just look at what you've seen this year, and it's been good.
Yeah. Travis Kelce all the way, baby. All right. This is a game also I don't want to talk about. Listen, I just got to vent, Matt. I got to get this out. I'm over it, bro. Every freaking running back that I have started as a starter, okay? And all of a sudden, the guy behind him says, let me take over, bud. And all of them are just backups now. Jordan Mason, Ramondre Stevenson, Chuba Hubbard. It's just guy after guy after guy, and then Cam Scatabo, RIP to my guy. Alvin Kamara's been buns. But it's like, what are we doing? And now, Travion Henderson, back-to-back, it just sucks.
Unstoppable.
It's like you cannot deny that they have not utilized him like they should.
No.
This guy had 19 carries, 62 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he's so good. PPR is like his I don't even know the word.
Treasure chest.
There it is. It's his treasure chest, dude. Literally 5 for 5, 31 and a touchdown. 3 touchdown game, 32.3 fantasy points in PPR. Man, it sucks. As a Ramondre Stevenson, I have shares of that guy. It's like, dude, I might as well drop him.
It's tough. Now, I wouldn't drop him just because of
right. It's a big
set. Who's out there on the waiver wire? It's not great, but you could see. I know. He's looked great. Henderson's looked amazing, But Vrabel has shown he loves Stevenson. So
it doesn't make sense.
I don't know why, but he does love him. So it's at least worth waiting to see when he's back from injury how he's utilized. But I don't know how – this is kind of like a Sean Tucker story here. I don't know how you just throw three TDs away and automatically put the other guy back in. So Trayvon, he's looked amazing. I tried to trade for him. No one would bite. They wanted to keep him.
Yeah.
I tried to get him before all these big games happened for a low price, but everybody stuck to their guns, and I bet they're glad they did.
As they should. I wish they wouldn't have.
Me too.
Because I tried to do the same thing, but especially in Dynasty, like, this guy's a dog. But, man, the Patriots are doing great. Stephon Diggs has kind of had a turnaround in these last few weeks. There's been the first, like, seven games of the year, he had a lot of lows. But finally we're seeing more of the, like, Stephon Diggs we've known of the past. And especially this week, he had a receiver 9 week, 105 yards, no touchdowns. If he can keep that up, you're in business. And how about Mac Hollins? With Booty out, Mac Hollins he's out there, man. 4 for 5, 64 yards, 10 for 40. I just like him. I mean, it wasn't like a boom, huge game, but I'm a fan. I really am. And the Jets, we'll leave it at that. The Jets are the Jets.
I agree with you there. It's Breece Hall and nothing else. That's it.
And he didn't even want to be there.
No. I feel terrible for him. I really do.
Yeah.
But I think
actually, I don't feel bad at all. This guy's making millions. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's true. That's true. He is making a ton of money. I do think it's a good point you bringing up Diggs, though, because 4 out of the last 5 games, he's been good. The only game he kind of had a down game was against Cleveland. That's a fantastic defense. But he's had 9 receptions, 5 receptions, 3 and 7. And he's putting a lot of yardage on top of that. And he, out of the last five games, he's had 3 TDs. So he's being utilized a lot by Drake May. It could change a little bit when we get Booty back. He's been the downfield guy that Drake May likes. But Stephon, he's the leader in that receiver room. I think you can kind of play him with confidence in the flex position. I wouldn't have high expectations ceiling-wise, but I think he offers you a pretty good floor.
I agree.
And I was down on him earlier in the season, but I don't think you – like I was talking about with Travis, you can't – you just got to look at what they're putting on the field now, and he's been good.
Got to trust. Trust in the process. Trust the process. That's right, man. All right, next game, Commanders and the Dolphins. Man, Devon Achane, he's balling out these last few weeks. But I wanted to point out here, Marcus Mariota, he did all right. He did okay. But in his last 3 games, his yardage has been 213 yards, 213 yards, and 213 yards. So.
Pretty wild.
I'm expecting against Denver, he'll have 213 yards. It's not bad.
I mean, 213 against Denver is a pretty good game. I do think fantasy-wise, though, him rushing the ball is what makes him a viable player to start if you're struggling. I mean, he had 4 carries this game for 49 yards. He's a good rusher of the ball. And then I know you were talking about him. You were wanting him to have a big game. Chris Rodriguez, he was decent. I mean, he had 1 catch in the receiving game. And then what's exciting, I think, is he had 15 carries. And he produced 79 yards, which is pretty good. So I think you see kind of that he's taken over the lead role on the team. JCM has kind of just fizzled his way out of the rushing attack here. So I think you can play Rodriguez thinking he's going to be the running back one on this team. So that's exciting.
He's a great flex option. Obviously they have the week 12 bye, but just in terms of JCM, everybody thought he was going to be just the best. And literally over the last like 6 weeks, he's averaged 2 yards per carry. Awful. Just awful.
Yeah. It really kind of shows you why most people tell you not to have much confidence in the seventh round running backs. It's the same thing on the Chiefs. Rashard Smith, we'd love to see him get more work. But at the end of the day, they're a seventh round pick, and there's a reason they went in the seventh round. So it's disappointing to see. We loved his name, Bill. Everybody was excited about it. It hasn't worked out. Rodriguez, he's looked good when he's got the opportunity. So at least that's an exciting aspect of the rushing attack there.
I was going to say for Rodriguez, the downside for like we're in a PPR league, he is not like – he's really just a power runner. He's not really a receiving back. And so that does limit him. But still, if he's getting 15 carries and he gets a goal line touch, that's a good floor.
They get McNichols in there in the when it's a passing down. So, like you said, that's disappointing. But he gets the red zone work, and that's really what we care about for fantasy.
Exactly. And I think McLaurin is supposed to be coming back here soon. But Debo has kind of been a big target for Marcus Mariota. So, something to watch out for. I mean, he had a pretty good week this week. Had two touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. So that's something to continue to look for there. On the other side, I really don't – the Dolphins are the Dolphins. Devon Achane. Ollie Gordon, though, with the touchdown. He has some upside there just in terms of dynasty. So
he gets work when it's a third down. They're on the goal line. It's most likely going to be him in the game just because he is more of a power runner than Achane. But Achane's play this year has been amazing. I don't think we expected him to make a full season without getting injured. That's what's plagued his career so far. But this dude, he is amazing. And I think what offers him such a high ceiling is the passing work, like we always talk about with these running backs. But he's borderline a receiver when it comes to the passing game. He makes guys miss and makes them look silly. So he's definitely been exciting. And then Waddle, I know it was kind of a down game here. It was a lower scoring game. But over these past 5 or 6 weeks, Waddle has been a wide receiver one with Tyreek Hill out of this game. So I would be excited about Waddle. I know it was a bad game, but I'd kind of throw it away.
I will say for Achane, like the schedule is not as appealing. They've had kind of an easy schedule in terms of the run game. And so rest of the season, it's a little – I mean, he's got Cincinnati, Tampa Bay, New England, Pittsburgh. There's some ones there where it's like – I mean, there he has some – like Cincinnati, this dude could run all over them.
Imagine Cincinnati, though. He's gonna demolish them.
That's the playoffs. And, man.
Old Tanner Keeley.
I hope that does not pan his way, but it is what it is. No, dude, looking at these stats – Achane has literally balled out all year and hasn't had that many touchdowns necessarily on the ground. So, like, that just what a year for Achane. Kind of crazy. Alrighty, Tampa Bay Bills. Bills Mafia, 7-3, 44-32. The Bills pull through. Josh Allen with a nuclear performance. Man. And I was watching this game, by the way. Ty Johnson.
That was a great play.
Dude, it was beautiful. Straight up beautiful. 61 yard. Really, that's the only reason he was like any he was fantasy relevant. He had the 15 points in PPR. But, man, Sean Tucker, 19 carries, 106 yards, two touchdowns, two catches on two targets, 34 yards and a touchdown with a 34 PPR fantasy output. Literally was running back 2 on the week. Kind of insane. No, we didn't talk about it fully, but that dude just, what a dog.
Oh, we talked about it. When he gets the opportunity, he's great. So hopefully, we don't like to see people miss games, but hopefully Bucky will miss one more game, and it might help someone that's struggling at running back. They'll have just a starter here in Sean Tucker. Hopefully. Now, that is dependent on who they give the carries between him and Rashad White. But just eyeball test-wise, he looks like the better running back. So hopefully that coaching staff sees it and they'll trust him to give him the RB1 carries.
And, Matt, who is Tyrell Shavers? Like, where did this dude come from, bro?
Yeah, he hasn't done a lot. He's a rookie receiver for them this year. He's had games where he looks like he might be stepping in. And I will say, what was the rookie from this past year? He hasn't done any. Keon Coleman. He's done so little that I kind of just forget about him. But yeah. He was a healthy scratch this game. He could have played. He was fully healthy, and it was just a coach's decision to sit him. Right. So if that's going to be the case rest of the year, I think Shavers could be a guy that kind of emerges here. It's been a receiver room where we can't really predict who's going to be the best on a week-to-week basis. But I think with Keon out, he's kind of their guy that stretches the field. If he's out and Shavers is in, I think he might be a guy you can play weekly. But I definitely would watch the next game to see if this continues. It was only 4 catches. But 90 yards and a touchdown, it's not something that we just need to overlook. So right. If Keon's going to continue to be out, definitely keep an eye on this situation.
So Shavers could be a deep league pickup for sure. Which
Dynasty Gabe Davis, for sure.
Oh, yeah, bro. Gabe Davis, dude, out there with a few yards, and Khalil Shakir was non-existent.
Speaking of Dynasty, do not wait till after the pod at least to see if he's picked up.
No, he's available. He is available.
Give me a chance to take a look-see.
It's actually his second. He's had 2 years in the league.
Oh, is he? Oh, a rookie 26. From the past. So he was drafted behind Keon, and now he's getting more work than him.
Yeah.
Talk about a disappointment. Keon Coleman, man. He was drafted ahead of Xavier Worthy, Ladd McConkey, some absolute dogs.
Ladidi, listen, I'm a fan. I like Keon Coleman. I liked watching him at Florida State. And also he's a Michigan State basketball player, which is kind of cool. But I don't know. I think Keon Coleman can turn around. I feel like on the Bills offense, there was just so many mouths to feed. It was like they didn't have a one that he kind of just out there, you know?
Me and Brevin, our resident Bills friend, we argued about this. He doesn't know the stats of his own team, but they're a rushing team. Yeah, they rush the ball more than they pass, and it's obviously going to vary game to game. But with a team like this where they rush the ball that much, it makes the situation for the receiver so scary because you never know. It's only going to be one of them on a week-to-week basis. It's never going to be multiple. So it's kind of like Russian roulette. You don't know who it's going to be.
Right. And you just got to go with it. You got to do what you got to do. James Cook is a for sure. Even like Dawson Knox had some huge games. But
yeah, Kincaid being out, if he's going to continue to be out, Dawson Knox could be a guy you look at. It'd be a scary guy to look at playing, but it's optional.
Yeah, I meant to say Dalton Kincaid. Dawson Knox has not had any big games. Excuse me.
There. Yeah, no, Kincaid was out this game though, so Dawson he was in there. It didn't amount to much.
He was just blocking so they could run.
Yeah, he had 23 yards receiving, so it wasn't much. But if Kincaid's gonna miss games. They love to target the tight end, so
yeah.
It's at least worth looking at if you're struggling. And James Cook honestly played – it wasn't a good game, but that one receiving touchdown, it just saved his day. So,
yeah, 16 carries for 48 yards. That's 3 yards per carry. That's not good.
Tampa Bay, it's a tough team to run on. It really is.
And the fact that Josh kind of pieced him up, 3 touchdowns on the ground is kind of crazy.
But yeah, 6 overall.
6 touchdowns. Dang, bro.
I think he had 45 points, and that's with 2 interceptions. It's wild.
That's insane.
I dislike him very much.
Should have drafted him. But instead, I played Justin Herbert, who had probably the worst game I've ever seen, bro. I take that back. This Monday Night Football was worse. But 10 for 18, 81 yards, and an interception. They literally pulled them in the fourth quarter, dude. I was so mad. Listen, this week couldn't have gone any worse. Like, literally, if they would have just played Ladidi, my boy Ladd, and freaking Justin Herbert for the fourth quarter, I could have won this week. But instead, and I, you know what? Maybe I should be thankful. They kept them from risk of injury. But Trey Lance came in and was just buns anyways. So it's not like
yeah, he's
they couldn't have kept him out there, man. I don't know. And of all teams, the Jags. The Jags, Matt.
The Jags are honestly a very weird team.
They're weird, dude.
They have some big wins this year against the Chiefs, against the Chargers, but then they blow leads against the Texans. And it's a weird team, and they blew that lead against Davis Mills. It's weird overall. I think it's pretty dependent on the running backs when it comes to the success they have. Both of their running backs this week did great. Travis Etienne, 73 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. Yep. Bishaw Tooten, who we've kind of been disappointed with, even had a good game, 74 yards and a rushing touchdown. I think the book's in on Trevor Lawrence. He's not the player we thought he was coming into the league. They won this game 35-6, and he had 153 yards passing, a TD, and an interception.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, Lawrence has been bad this year, but the Jags overall have been decent. Jacoby Myers looks like he's getting a lot of work on this team, which it sucks if you had Parker Washington. He had those good games, and now you have Myers come in here. And then Brian Thomas is eventually going to be back from injury. So this could be a wide receiver room like we were talking about, where it's Russian roulette on who's going to get the points on a week-to-week. And with a quarterback like Lawrence, I wouldn't be confident in any of them.
No. But Myers is legit. And, I mean, I just trade him away. But
he's a decent player for sure.
He's a good receiver, and he'll get work on this team. So that is a benefit.
Quentin Johnston. Buns.
Buns.
That guy makes me so mad.
This Chargers team does this every year where they are like, man, it's like, man, these guys are unstoppable. These guys are so good. And then all of a sudden it gets close to the playoffs and everybody gets a little shaky and they just start to crumble. So I think Justin Herbert this next week on bye will play really good. And then against Las Vegas, I think they'll turn around. But man, it just made me so mad. Just like of all weeks,
I got
a team in our league. So
I got a start sit for you here. Would you play Justin Herbert on bye or Justin Fields?
I might be playing Justin Herbert on bye, dude. Just because, geez, man. But I might not though, because after he burned me this week, literally, if I had played Caleb Williams, I'd have won. But shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah, and that's actually news I forgot to say. Justin Fields is getting benched for Tyrod Taylor. So you never know. We might see some of the pass catcher options there, like Mason Taylor, get some more work with a little better of a quarterback. So it's just something to keep an eye on. Who the heck's going to get the work on that team? I really don't know.
Adonai Mitchell really is legit.
He's about all they got, him and Taylor.
Yeah, and Mason Taylor is good. And then Breece Hall out of the backfield. But I wanted to ask you this question, Matt, and we'll kind of – this will be my last question to you. We won't really cover this game fully. And then I know you got a segment for us real quick before we close. Kyle – I'm telling you, if they don't stop with these freaking names, Matt, Kyle Manon guy. He ain't my guy, but listen, the 12 carries, 23 yards and a touchdown. Is he going to take work from DeAndre Swift?
I think so. It's very similar. It's the same coach as with the Lions. He loves to use two running backs. They're very different players. Manunga is more of a power back, kind of like the Charbonnet to Walker. Yeah. He's a power back that when he got the lead role looked amazing, almost had 200 yards rushing. I think it's when they get in the red zone, if it's short yardage attempts, it's going to be Manongai, and that's where you're getting these touchdown runs. And then when they're moving down the field, it's going to be Swift, who's the much quicker player in general, who can bounce outside. So I think it's going to be a very split backfield. Swift will probably have the edge in the carry slightly, but – the important carries in the red zone, those are going to Manongai, which is scary if you're a Swift owner. He finally looked like he was kind of coming on there. But with his emergence, Kyle's, in the red zone, I think you need to lower your expectations for Swift on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, it's just kind of like one of those things where what can you do? You expect Swift to – like you see him finally start to make a show of him, and then all of a sudden, gone.
You never like to see the split backfields, but in rare cases, it produces well. In this case, honestly, Swift still had a decent day. He didn't have the touchdown, but he still had 90 yards rushing, and he's going to get a little more involved in the passing game than Monongai. So it'll be interesting to see. Monongai in this game only averaged 2 yards a carry. So
it wasn't good running.
I think it's going to be kind of scary on which one of those players to start. But if you're going off who's going to get the touchdown, I think you definitely need to lead or lean the rookie's way, Kyles.
Factual. All right, lastly, I just wanted to give you some of our top guys of this last week before Matt gives a little segment because we get to go through all the games. But CMC balled out. Love to see that. Obviously went over a few of them, but Kenneth Gainwell with 29 fantasy points. George Pickens with 29 fantasy points. Didn't even play for the first drive. So that's kind of crazy.
He seems to have many games like that.
Yeah, love George.
Dude's got a terrible attitude, but he's a great player.
He's a good man. Good man. Trey McBride, 27 fantasy points. George Kittle also had a great game with Brock Purdy coming back. Ricky Pearsall was quiet in that game, and so forth and so forth. And Nico Collins balling out against the Titans. So there was a lot of fantasy production this week, but also a lot of duds this week in areas that seemed to just freaking the Chargers, man. They suck. All right, Matt, I'm throwing it to you. What you got as we close out?
So I've got a couple start-sit decisions for you here for week 12. Something I forgot to mention earlier, did you see the Jamar Chase situation?
Yeah.
It sucks for me in Dynasty because that's him and Puka are my kings.
You got a
over
big
there,
week, dude. You got a big week, too.
And I'm going against the 2 seed who I very much would love to beat. He's our –
I thought you were going against
or 3 Aiden. Seed. He's a 3 seed, I think.
4 seed. Yo, chill. Don't put me down.
Oh, sorry. I was hyping him up too much. He's a good friend of me and Alex. I want to beat him very bad. Jamar spitting on Jalen Ramsey is not ideal by any means. So it was a 1-game suspension, and he got fined $600,000, which I thought was pretty
no
wild.
Way.
Yeah, I know he's making a ton of money, but that is more than a little bit for him.
Like,
so,
bro, it's just spit. Like, I understand it may be disrespectful, but like, dang.
Dude, if you after this go watch it, it was honestly a full loogie. It was rough. Yeah, so I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, but it came at a very
$600,000 spit, bro.
Yeah, it came at a very bad time for me, but I think that does propel Higgins to another level. I think Higgins is going to be phenomenal. So it's kind of a 1 week thing. But he should get peppered with targets with Joe Flacco.
Because Higgins is a receiver one with on any team.
Yeah, any other team with the exception of a few, he would be the receiver one. Right. But just want to throw that out there. I'll give you my start sits. I got a couple for you here. The first one's going to be Rico Dowdle versus Chase Brown. Rico kind of had a down game this past week, and Chase Brown had a great game. Almost got to 20 points. Rico was around the 10-ish points. The matchups for them, Rico is playing the Niners. Chase Brown's playing the Pats. Rico, over the season, has averaged 14 points per game. Chase has averaged with Chase Brown, I'll throw this disclaimer. I took his points per game with Flacco at quarterback. If you throw Brownings in there, it really lowers his average. But with Flacco, he's been good. It's 16.5 points per game.
Oh, wow.
The 49ers are the 12th ranked rushing defense. The Patriots are the number one rush defense.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to kind of alter your opinion here. But Rico had a down game, and Chase Brown's very good in the passing game. So I didn't know if that would kind of sway you toward his side. But which one of those players would you start this upcoming week?
Yeah, so with the factor that Bryce Young could miss week 12 and Andy Dalton be under center, I think they maybe from a defensive perspective can stack the box more and can kind of let their receivers, like not their corners, handle their own. And so because of that, I think Rico will have a lower game. So for me, just on the fact that Joe Flacco will dump the ball off quite a bit, especially with less of a target share to go to Jamar Chase, I think that upgrades Chase Brown. I mean, I know the Patriots do have a good run defense, but he excels to me in the receiving back kind of vibe. So yeah, I'd go Chase Brown over Rico Dowdle on this one.
Well, absolutely love to hear that. I have him in multiple teams, so that makes me very happy.
We need to see we need to keep up with this and see if it pans out the way we talk about it. So
I like it. Next week I'll come back with if you were right or not.
I like it. I like it.
This next one I think will be an easier decision for you. I'll try to defend the player I don't think you'll pick, but I think I know what you're going to go. So it's Stephon Diggs versus Devontae Smith. They both have good matchups. Diggs is playing the Bengals. Smith is playing the Cowboys. So two of the worst pass defenses in the league. Stephon Diggs, over the season, he had a slow start coming on here at the end. He's averaging 11 points per game. Devontae Smith is averaging 13.3. The Bengals are the 32nd ranked pass defense, so literally the worst. And then the Cowboys pass defense is ranked 29th. So I think you're likely going to go Devontae Smith here. But like we talked about earlier with Diggs, he's had a touchdown in three of the last five. His yards have been up. He's been averaging three or more receptions. I think it'll only go up. This past game, he had seven. Devontae Smith, I think it's pretty volatile on if this passing game is going to be good on a week-to-week basis. And he had an absolute clunker this past week. And I think a lot of it was due to A.J. Brown complaining his way to targets on this team.
Dude.
So I didn't know if that would kind of sway your opinion, if you think that's going to continue. But Saquon Barkley has just been, in all honesty, a disappointment. He hasn't been the same player, and that's kind of led to Devontae having some really good games this year. He's honestly been good. But with A.J. Brown complaining as of recent, I wanted to see if you think he's going to continue to be the wide receiver one on this team or if Devontae will continue the success.
I think in watching the Eagles played the Lions, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And A.J. Brown was just getting everything. And to me, I don't think Jalen Hurts is that good of a throwing quarterback. And so
it's against the Cowboys, though.
I'm going to lean Stephon Diggs, truly. This may sound crazy, but I think the Patriots offense is just way better right now. And that sounds weird to say.
The Eagles' offense has been weird.
Bad. It's just been bad. Bad to what they could be or they should be. You know,
no, don't walk that back. They have been bad.
I mean, that's just – when you see Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts, like you expect these guys to ball out, and they haven't. A.J. Brown's been awful.
They've had games where they put up 25-plus points. Then they have games where they scored 10 against the Packers. This past week, they scored 16. It's just it's an offense that should not be struggling like it is. So I agree with you. It has been a very hard offense to just trust on a week. I mean, A.J. Brown's been borderline unplayable, in all honesty. He was telling people on his live stream on YouTube to sit him. And then the one week he says sit him, he finally has a decent week. But, I mean, I don't disagree with you, especially since the Patriots are playing the Bengals. That's a very good matchup. The Eagles playing the Cowboys is as well. There should be a lot of points scored, but we could finally see a Barkley game here. If they're rushing, their rushing defense is pretty bad as well. So we could see a Barkley game, but I think the targets are going to continue to be forced at A.J. Brown. Yeah. Dallas Goedert has been targeted a lot this year, especially in the red zone. So I do agree. I would go Diggs, and that sounds stupid.
Sounds crazy.
Yeah.
It even sounds but crazy I'll, to say the Patriots
I'll mark them down. Better. I'll mark them down on what you picked, and we'll come back next week.
Diggs over Devontae Smith. What a weird. At least now, like I feel like in the past, it's like, oh yeah, Diggs is a dog. Yeah, he still kind of is, really, but
he's still pretty good.
Old Pats, man. Well, is that all you got?
That's all I got. Start for you this sit. Week.
We'll see if they pan out. If my ball knowledge is as elite as we thought.
Man, I'll tell you what. It's good to have you back. It's good to have you back.
Yo, but shout out to the single man episode here. Come on, dude.
I try my best for you guys. It's not as easy not having your co-host to talk to, but we still wanted to get something out to you.
Exactly. Which next week we may or may not be here with Thanksgiving week. We'll see what we got. We'll see what we can do. But if not, we will be here the week after. It's coming up, man. Playoff season. It's around the corner.
It's going by too quick. It really is.
It's insane. What, November 18th today? Already halfway done. Done with November. Thanksgiving's next week. Is that not insane, bro?
It is. It is insane. We are getting into college basketball season, which is exciting. We're both pretty big college fans. Him, Georgia. Me, Arkansas.
Listen, Georgia is looking good this year. We might have the new best dunker out there in Wilkins. Bro, I'm telling you right now, the Dogs, this is their year. This is it. Yeah. Kane.
You've said that in the past. It wasn't your year when you had Anthony Edwards on your team.
It should have been.
Yeah, I mean, he's a top 10 player in the NBA, and he did. But I will say the SEC in general in basketball has looked good. And it's kind of weird. We weren't a conference that you really expected much in basketball, and now we look like one of the best. So it's exciting. Yeah, we got Calipari in town. We beat Winthrop by one tonight. That right there is a scary game. I don't know why the heck it was that close. That I think they shot over 50% from three, which is never a good success. But we pulled out the win. I don't know how's Georgia doing so far.
We're undefeated right now. I think 5-0.
Now we're 4-0. Well, we're 5-1, but we played Michigan State, lost by two.
We played nobody's really right now. So
yeah, we play Duke in 2 weeks. So it's really going to be a test of the team.
Duke is. Yeah,
they're legit.
They're looking good. What is it? Who do they have? Boozer,
the Boozer twins.
Dude, they're legit.
Dude, I feel like you get like every 10 years or so you get the twins in college basketball, and they're just dogs. Like at Kentucky, the two brothers they had, the guards, they were absolutely electric. Is it Michael Porter Jr. and his brother? No. His brother got kicked out of the league for gambling, so that's not as good of an example. But when you get brothers, it's just it's electric. It really is.
Yeah, we had oh my goodness, I'm blanking on his name last year. Asa Newell.
Mm-hmm.
They had twins, and we still got his twin brother, but he's not doing much. So is what it is.
It doesn't always work out, but when they're good, oh my gosh, it's awesome.
That's right. I wish we did basketball segments. We might have to dive into that a little bit.
Yeah, when football ends, you never know. We'll get into some college basketball maybe.
That's true. March Madness, baby.
Best time of the year.
That's right. It's coming up. It'll be here before we know it. So, well, thank you for tuning in. It's good to be back. Shout out to my boy Matt again for holding down the fort. But hopefully we'll be back here next week. Make sure you subscribe and like, and we'll see you later.
Peace.
Peace.